Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight will be study number 67, and I'll read from 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. And it says there, "Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And he answered, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'What is the thing that Jehovah has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee.' And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, 'It is Jehovah. Let him do it. Let him do what seemeth him good.'" And I'll stop reading there. And once again, we have to recognize that Eli is doing a very good thing. He's doing something positive in encouraging Samuel to speak the word of the Lord to him in its entirety. And he says to Samuel, "Hide it not from me." And that is an excellent thing. If only all people had that idea in their mind that they wanted to hear everything that God had to say. And as we pointed out yesterday, this is one area that we have to recognize that the New Testament churches and congregations did something very well when they spread the Bible. They carried the message of the Bible to practically all the nations of the world, and they established churches in which the Bible was established. And the Bible is the word of Christ, and it is the whole word of God. And so in that sense, we find that Eli is involved in a good way in encouraging Samuel to speak the word to him that the Lord has brought to him. And also we pointed out how the churches and congregations have an understanding. We don't know exactly if this is on a conscience level or if it's something deep down that they recognize, but they know that God himself is not pleased with them. And so they, like King Zedekiah of Judah, wanted to hear the word of the Lord from Jeremiah the prophet, even though publicly, if the leadership of Judah at that time would have come to Zedekiah, then he would have wanted nothing to do with Jeremiah. He did it secretly. And that tells us that the New Testament churches, when they heard the information about the end of the church age, they, on some level, were aware this was the word of the Lord. And they realized that God was not pleased with them, even though publicly they would never admit it. And so we find here, after being encouraged by Eli to say everything and to hold nothing back, which is also important that Eli tells him that. And not only does Eli say, hold nothing back, but if you do withhold anything that the Lord has said, then God do so to thee and more. And that also is actually a good admonition for Eli to give the young Samuel. Well, in verse 18, it goes on to say, "And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said," that's Eli, "'it is Jehovah. Let him do what seemeth him good.'" So Samuel told Eli every whit, W-H-I-T. And that's not a very common word, but actually, we can just look at the Hebrew word here to understand what it means. And the Hebrew word is dabar. The Hebrew word dabar, which is overwhelmingly translated as word. The word of God is dabar. And so when it says Samuel told him every whit, it means every word. Every word that God had communicated to him, every word that came from the mouth of God. He hid nothing from him. He spoke everything to Eli. And that's really everything that a prophet needed to do. It's everything that a child of God needs to do. All we have to do is to relay exactly what God has said to us. We don't make anything up. We don't add anything to it. And we don't subtract anything from it. We just tell every whit, every word that we heard according to how the Lord has opened up our understanding to the truths of His Word. This is the walking orders. These are our guidelines. This is our commandment when we carry forth the gospel. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, in chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is coming to the end of his, at least one aspect to his ministry, and the Lord moves him to write in Acts 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." See, here the Apostle Paul is speaking to individuals that he had witnessed to, that he had shared the gospel with. And as he examines his own ministry, as he looks at the teaching that he has been involved with or the sharing of the truths of the Bible that he has done, he can say this. Maybe he cannot say that he was eloquent. And actually, he does say he was not eloquent in another place. He wasn't eloquent. Maybe he was not dynamic. Maybe he was not exciting. Maybe he was none of those things. But one thing he did do, and this is the most important thing above all, was he shared everything, all the counsel of God. He held nothing back. Actually, the word shunned, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God," is translated in the same passage in a different way. In verse 20 of Acts 20, it says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." The word, or the two English words, "kept back," are a translation from the same Greek word translated as "shunned" in verse 27, and therefore the Apostle Paul is stating, "I have not kept back to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He did not hide anything, not a jot, not a tittle, not a word of any kind. And that is, of course, our duty. It is our responsibility. It is our obligation to share the whole counsel of God. And we're not obligated. We don't have maybe even the ability to share beautifully or to speak with eloquence. Yet we all can share truthfully. We all can share honestly and completely. And this is the duty of the child of God. Now notice that it also says in Acts 20, verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Now that statement is drawn from Ezekiel 33. And why don't we turn back there? We used to be very familiar with this passage, but we haven't looked at it for a while. In Ezekiel chapter 33, it says in verse 2, "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman. If, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. You see, the watchman is pure from the blood of all those that he has warned. In Acts 20, Paul, again, you know, we have to continually remember that he is just speaking this way because God is moving him to speak. But he says further on in Acts 20, in verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So he is certainly drawing from Ezekiel 33. He is pure from the blood of all men. He has warned them of what the Bible says concerning sin, concerning judgment, concerning righteousness, concerning all the information that God shared with him. Well, Paul, he just turned right around and shared this with anyone who would listen. He shared it with the people of his day. Well, let's go back to 1 Samuel 3, and I just want to read this again in verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit or every word and hid nothing from him. And again, God is really reinforcing the earlier statement. The Lord could have just said, Samuel told him every word. And that says it. That says it very plainly. There's no need to say anything else. God already said he told him everything. And he goes on to say, and hid nothing from him. So it reinforces the first part of the sentence. It drives it home with further emphasis. And so we're going to also further emphasize this point. And let's turn to Jeremiah 50 and verse 2. Well, I'll start reading in verse 1 into verse 2. The word that Jehovah spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard, publish, and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. But notice it says, declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard, publish, and conceal not. The word conceal is the same word hid. That's in 1 Samuel 3:18. Conceal not, but publish. But how can we publish what the Bible says? People don't want to hear it. The world doesn't want to hear it. Many in the churches don't want to hear it. And since no one wants to hear it, it can be very difficult and very trying thing to do. And yet God isn't getting into all that. He's just giving us our instructions as he commanded for the church age and for the day of salvation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. And we're still commanded to teach the Bible, to teach what we read in the Word of God, and we're not to hold anything back. And God is certainly open up at the end of time during the Great Tribulation very hard things. When he opened up the information from the Bible that the church age was over, you know, it was not an easy thing for those who had friends in churches, for those who themselves were in churches, to hear and then to share that with others. It was a difficult thing, and people didn't want to hear it. And they even began to afflict those who brought that kind of message and to call them names and to say it was heretical to make it more difficult to share that kind of message. That's what men do. They try to shoot arrows or throw darts or to do things because they don't like it. So they want to make it more difficult so that you'll stop sharing it. And so the church did that with those who taught the information about the end of the church age. And yet God insisted that we had to share these things. Remember what he said to Ezekiel in chapter 2? He said, after telling Ezekiel to stand on his feet, which identifies with the latter rain period, about 17 years from 94 till 2011 of the Great Tribulation, he says in Ezekiel 2, verse 2, "And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them." And that's just as Zedekiah knew that Jeremiah was a prophet, just as Eli knew that Samuel was a true prophet of the Lord, even though they were pronouncing judgments against them. And it goes on in verse 6, "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee." And this is God's instructions to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel also had a very difficult task in his day. Has there ever been a prophet of the Lord that is a true believer that has not had a difficult task? Has there ever been anyone who was taken to heaven on flowery beds of ease, as that hymn so aptly puts it? Or is the way to heaven through much tribulation? And is it always difficult to speak the truth and to share what the Bible says? Because, well, we dwell amongst briars and thorns, amongst those that do not want to hear the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is sometimes extremely grievous, as we're now finding out. You know, we're living in a time when God is opening up the scriptures further. Well, maybe that's not the way to put it. The Bible was open back at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. All the seals were taken off, and it's just been a process of understanding the word of God as the Lord opens up our understanding. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. He's opened up our understanding further. Actually, when we read in Revelation 10 in verse 2 regarding a mighty angel who had a little book open, it says in Revelation 10:2, "And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth." Now, the little book is the Bible. And yet we read this like, well, now the little book is open. But actually, the correct tense, it literally should be read, "And he had in his hand a little book having been open." That's because it was open at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. And Revelation 10 seems to be dealing with a time after that point. And actually, Revelation 10 has much in common with Ezekiel chapter 2. For instance, in verse 8, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open, in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And if you read Revelation 2 into Revelation 3, you'll find very similar language. And it goes on to say, And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, the little book is the Bible, and here the Apostle John, as God is just using him as an example, is told to take the little book, the Word of God, the Bible, eat it up, and it will make your belly bitter, but it'll be in your mouth sweet as honey. Now, we understand why it's sweet as honey in his mouth, because the Bible is likened to honey, which is sufficient for us. And so always when we learn anything from the Bible, it's always sweet, no matter how hard or difficult the truth might be. It's always sweet to our mouth. But notice, it will make thy belly bitter. That is, it is a very unpleasant thing, because what does the Bible say that flows forth out of the belly of believers? Well, if we go to the Gospel of John, in John 7, it says in verse 38, He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So the rivers of living water, that is, we share the gospel, and it is able to bring the Spirit, because God would bless that and apply his Spirit to the listeners. And especially during the day of salvation, it could result in the Holy Spirit saving someone and entering into them. So that's the normal, typical thing that flows forth from the belly of the true believer. And we eat of the Bible or of the Word of God. It's sweet in our mouth, and it flows forth as a river of water that brings life. It brings the Holy Spirit. It brings salvation. But that's not what happens in Revelation 10. When he is told to take the little book and eat it, it makes his belly bitter. And that word bitter is found back in Revelation 8 in verse 11, where it says, And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And we understand Revelation 8 very well. Revelation 8, with the first four trumpets, when they sound, they're pronouncing judgment on the third part, and that is upon the churches and congregations. It's, again, that dual nature of God's end-time judgment plan. He begins at the house of God. He finishes it with the world. And so the first four trumpets deal with the church, and a third part of the sun, of the moon, of the stars, etc., are affected, and that's because the third part identifies with the church. But then we have the final three trumpets, which are the three woes. And notice it says in verse 13, Woe, 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 that will be trumpet 5, 6, and 7. To the inhabitants of the earth, because the three woes, the last three trumpets, are the transition from judgment on the churches to the judgment upon the world. So we know in verse 11 of Revelation 8, when the star, which is called wormwood, in the third part of the waters become wormwood, we know that this is referring to the gospel water, and the fact that God is no longer saving anyone within the churches and congregations, and that's why many men die of the waters and they were made bitter. Well, it's that same word, that identical word that we find in Revelation 10:9, when the little book is eaten, and it shall make thy belly bitter. And we understand this to relate to our day. It seems Revelation 10 is a very tough chapter to understand, but it seems it would relate to our day when God has made the water bitter for all the world. And so we're learning these things from the Bible, which is sweet to us. It's always a blessing to the child of God to learn new truth, and yet it is bitter to our belly because the Holy Spirit, the rivers of living water, which bring life wherever they go, as the waters that issued forth from the temple in the book of Ezekiel brought life to wherever they flowed, so too did the gospel which the believers carried into the world bring life. Those waters are now made bitter. And yet this is the word of God. We cannot hold back. And verse 11 of Revelation 10 says, "And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." We don't go forth evangelizing. We are in no way trying to plant seed for harvest. We're not under any sort of notion that people will hear and be blessed, but we are still under a mandate. We are still under the commandment of God to share truth from his word, even when that truth is about as hard as anything could be and as difficult as anything could be. We are still to share it with anyone that is willing to listen. And we share everything. We don't hold anything back. We don't try to say things that we know certain people like to hear and withhold other information because we know they don't like to hear it. We share everything the Bible has to say, and we cannot be respecters of persons. We cannot try to please man in any way. Well, we'll pick up with the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 3 in our next Bible study.